This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Tim Hasselbeck going to join us in about a half an hour. Break down the games coming up this weekend. But right now, we've got the commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference that joins us, Commissioner John Swofford. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, Mark. Thank you. Good morning to you and Wes.
It's always a pleasure. Obviously, it's also a really important week for the conference because it's Unity Week, and it's something that I know that you, the staff, the schools, the presidents, the players, the coaches, I mean, anybody who's anybody in this conference has had a hands-on approach with this, and this is a really, really critical and important initiative.
Well, it really is, and I think you hit the nail on the head, Mark, when you talk about the various aspects of the conference, the people in the conference, because everybody is all in, so to speak. It's something that really came from our student-athletes forward, and it's a part of every institution, part of the conference office, and everybody involved at the conference office. But most particularly our student athletes, and I've been really proud of them with their sensitivity to some of the situations that are out there, that we feel like the Atlantic Coast Conference and our student athletes can be a part of helping make some things better. And that's the whole purpose of this, to bring recognition to some things that just aren't right and try to make things better. And our athletes have a platform to help do that.
Commissioner, I know tomorrow is the webinar on activism and allyship, and I got to be honest, of all the things that are going on this week, the statements that have been made at athletic events are one thing, but something like that, the information and the just the collaborative nature of something like that with student athletes from all the institutions, that seems like just to be one of the marquee events of what's going to happen during this week.
Wes, I think it is. It's a bit unusual and unique, I think, and certainly something that can have very positive results. We're just at a time where athletics is a part of a lot of change that can and should go on in our country. And it's very obvious that our student athletes want to be a part of it. And any way that we can help channel their passion, their unity, their efforts in this regard in a positive way that can help bring positive results, we very much want to be a part of that.
I noticed you've got the T-shirt behind you. I've got it behind me today as well. We'll be wearing these bad boys later in the week on top of it. But each day there's been a different theme throughout the course of this week, Commissioner. Can you talk about just some of the things? I mean, there's a lot of stuff going. There's a lot of moving parts to this whole deal.
Well, yeah, there are a lot of moving parts. And again, that's all come by and large from our student athletes. You know, we have our student athlete groups, our SAC groups, both at the conference level and at each institutional level. And so there are a lot of good ideas that are coming into play to try and bring change and healthy change and healthy dialogue and education and all of these different things are aimed at different aspects of that ultimate end result, because you can approach it in so many different ways. So that's the reason for the sort of diverse way that our league is approaching it. And as I said earlier, those ideas generally, most of the time, are formulated from our student athletes.
Commissioner, the best news about Unity Week is not only is it a great movement by this conference, it's also happening around events. And the good news is we've got the events, right, that we've been able to stage a fall sports schedule for the most part without a lot of interruption. You got to be pleased with the way this process, I think, is unfolded. There has not been too many chaotic moments, seemingly. There have been a couple, but nothing that has that steered it off course, at least.
No, Wes, it's gone really well, and I think it's fair to say it's gone pretty much as we had anticipated, and maybe better than we had anticipated, quite honestly. We're beyond the halfway point now as we go into the eighth week of our season. We have had to reschedule a few games. We haven't lost any games in their entirety yet, other than one non-conference game, and that particular school was able to reschedule another non-conference game for later in the year right now, if that date is not needed to play a conference game. So we're hitting at about 92% of the games scheduled halfway through, and that's pretty good. We're very pleased with that when you consider the circumstances that we're playing in, and that is a real tribute, I think, to our coaches and our student athletes, first and foremost, because it shows that they're having the discipline to do their part to be able to play this game, and that they love so much and very much wanted to play. So, you know, that doesn't always free you up from the virus itself, but that's a great way to, and the best way to address it is having the discipline to live the lifestyle, if you will, that our athletes are having to live in order to have the chance to play. And it's awfully gratifying on Saturdays, or this past Saturday, for instance, and getting back to the Unity Week when, first of all, our teams are playing, and secondly, those players standing out on the field with locked arms in unity, committing to the same social aspects of what we're trying to address and what they are trying to address. But you have to be able to play the games to have that platform, and so the two go hand in hand. Just very proud of the fact we're playing, happy that we're playing, and very proud of our athletes and their commitment to really important things from a societal standpoint that are off the playing fields and courts.
We got, obviously, football rocking and rolling. Olympic sports are underway and doing their thing. Championships coming up right around the corner. But so is basketball. And basketball has always been a pretty big deal here in the Atlantic Coast Conference. What can you tell us regarding November 25th and actually moving forward with schedules and everything else that you can at least tell us?
Well, it's going well. I'll be honest with you. It's a challenge. It's going to be, I think, even more of a challenge than football, for instance, because of the sequencing of the games, the officials traveling all around the country and officiating as many games as they officiate. It's an indoor sport. But we're very close to announcing the schedules. Not quite there yet. We coordinate that with our television partners, and our television partners have various conferences to work with. So we all work together to try and put that to bed, and that's, we're on the verge of that. A lot of conversation about the testing and the protocols that will come into play. And because you're sometimes playing three games a week, for instance, as opposed to one in football, it's a different sequencing there, both for the players and the officials. But I feel real good about where we are with that, and our medical advisory group has done a superb job with helping us with that. We've learned a lot from what we're doing with football. One of the things with football is that I think at this point, and I've told the Big Ten and Pac-12 this, that you know, once you get in the rhythm of the protocols and how things have to work, and the difference within a stadium with a lot fewer fans and in some cases no fans, after the third, fourth week, your players and coaches and other personnel get used to the flow and how it works. Mm-hmm. And you get more comfortable with the uncomfortable aspects of what we're having to do. And that'll be the case in basketball, I think, for sure. It's just human nature. The flow will come. You only have 12 to 15 players. So you can, if you have a virus outbreak, it can be really problematic for a while in terms of of the testing and the tracing that would have to go on. We're trying to deal with that. We continue to be really cooperative with the local communities and the regulations that go on there, from attendance to contact tracing and so forth. But I can't say enough about our medical advisory group, because they've been fantastic. Mako, our testing company that we've worked closely with out of the Raleigh area, has been outstanding as well. And so all of that can move forward. But long answer to your question, but we're gearing up and ready to go. And we'll be ready to announce some things in the very near future in terms of the exact schedule.
Commissioner, this is obviously one of the most challenging athletic and academic calendars that anybody has undertaken in the modern era, for sure. As we move forward, this move from fall to winter and then to the spring, where there are going to be some fall championships staged at the national level, the other fall sports beyond football, they deserve credit too. All these student athletes, we talked to Dave Clawson about it yesterday. The discipline to do this is seemingly just unparalleled. I mean, the young people who have made this commitment to have this discipline to go through this, just remarkable.
It is remarkable, Wes, and the coaches, and we've talked about it a lot in going back to even July, August, as we were gearing up to play, the importance of emphasizing to our student athletes that a lot of this will be up to them, not all of it, but a lot of it, in terms of having to have that discipline from, as I said earlier, a lifestyle standpoint to keep the virus at bay if you possibly can, and therefore have a chance to play. And I think it shows tremendous discipline on the student athletes' part, and how much they love their sport, how much they wanted to play their sport. Mm.
Commissioner, I offered my services to the conference and to really ACC Network as a ultimate cross promotion to drive the golf cart at this week's cross country championships in Raleigh. And I know the whole medical protocol that everybody has to go through. You got to keep people safe. That includes family members, outsiders like myself. And so I gave the conference a deadline as of 10 a.m. yesterday. Never heard back from you. So I'm going to mark that up as a no. And hopefully, I know that this is your last go around. I hope that you can leave a note in the next commissioner's desk that, hey, Mark Packer is available to drive the golf cart at the ACC Cross Country Championships on ACC Network for 21. If you could do me a favor on that, if we can make that happen, I'm not charging anybody anything, no per diem, gas money, services rendered, free of charge. And so just trying to help everybody out, the network, the conference, cross promotion, and all that stuff. I just want you to know that.
Okay, I'm glad that you brought that up. You know, at first I thought maybe somebody had just checked your driving record, transitioned it from a real vehicle out on the highway to a golf cart, and decided no way, we can't have that. But it really got down to the word essential, and we couldn't get you through the essential protocol of this particular event. I mean, you're essential to today and this, what we're doing, but the committee is, and it's a big committee, but the committee that had to vote on whether you were essential to the cross country championship, it was a close vote. I will tell you that. So you had some friends supporting you, but you couldn't get over the hump. Since we're, getting close to election day, we thought it'd be good to do it by vote of this committee. And it was close, but you didn't quite make it. But yeah. I will tell you, in the letter I leave in my desk for my successor, I'm going to put a P.S. on it at the very end. And hopefully I'll be able to have one last bit of influence as to your being able to do this time next year. But. I think you should run. I think you should run. I think you should lead, not on the golf cart. I think you should personally lead. I think that would be the more appropriate way to do it. But you do whichever you want to do.
Commissioner, let me help you there. The key being the word essential. If I ran in the cross country championships, I'm not sure the conference has budgeted enough essential medical personnel to get the guy that had the lead at the 2 foot mark before he just rolled over and played dead before being trampled by the entire Atlantic Coast Conference cross country teams. I have lived off non-essential for my entire life. That's been the key to my success. Non-essential. So I hear you loud and clear, but I am available for 21.
You were essential to Clemson golf. I know that.
No doubt.
Essential to Clemson golf.
Hey, somebody had to. Let me tell you how that worked. When Clemson won their first ACC golf championship, Larry Pendley, Bobby Robinson, and those guys, somebody, while they were winning championships, somebody back on campus had to be essential to line up the victory party. You're looking at them. I was in charge of all of that and did a great job, I might add. Great job.
Gotcha.
Commissioner, let me offer this. If Mark were to run at the front of the cross country championship instead of drive the golf cart, the cross country championship might become a steeplechase, if you know what I mean. Yep. They would have to hurdle Mark as they move their way down the path.
Yeah, that's a bad idea. That's a bad idea.
All right, we'll stay with the golf cart.
Let me just say this. Since 1997, you have had some truly brilliant ideas in college athletics. I mean, from the expansion plans to what we now currently enjoy in the CFP, right, Mark? The BCS, all the basketball tournaments, the venues, the revenue streams. Heck, even ACC Network, all right? Packer running at the front of the cross country championships, Commission. I would not put that toward the top of the accomplishments.
No.
I would, you know what I mean?
Not. That's a bad move. That's a really bad move, would be.
Well, I've had some other really bad moves that fortunately I've made a career out of surrounding myself with really good people that are smarter than I am, and they've talked me out of things. So I'll put this in that category, that the two of you are just
there. You go. Okay.
Two smart people that once again have talked me out of something that wouldn't work, and we'll stay with the golf cart.
Okay, I'm going to go back to being serious a second. Is there anything you can tell us about the next commissioner? Do you know anything on that front?
No. I honestly don't. No. It's a great job, a great league, and I'm sure they'll find a terrific leader to come in and sit in this chair. I do believe that, but I don't know anything about the search.
Well, let me just tell you this. West Durham doesn't trust me in a golf cart. So, you know, when you've got your feet up chilling and grilling in the middle of the summer and you're like, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to join Pack and ride shotgun next year at the cross country championship. You ride shotgun with me, Commission.
Great.
We'll take care of business. How great would that be?
There you go. I like that.
Now we're getting somewhere. We're getting somewhere.
Great. Yeah.
I like that.
Super.
I like that.
Now he has an accomplice. Listen. Congratulations, Commissioner.
This is a good idea. How are they going to say no, Commissioner? If I say, listen, you can call me non-essential all you want, but you're not going to tell that to Swofford because he's riding shotgun with me in that golf cart. And we want sirens and flags and all kinds of stuff on that thing.
Hey, I'm getting closer and closer to being non-essential. So at that point in time, I'll be non-essential.
Hey, join the club. You're going to enjoy it. We can make that work. Trust us. That'd be great. Good seeing you, though, as always.
Thanks, Commish. Great to visit with you.
Thank you for accentuating Unity Week and the work that CORE is doing, because it's great stuff, so to speak, and is really student athlete oriented. A great connection between our institutions and the conference office, and tremendous leadership from a conference standpoint from Mary McElroy, on our staff, and Shamari Brown, who works with SAC. So, really appreciate you guys emphasizing that.
You got it. Our pleasure.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
There were some kind of some strange storylines that brewed throughout the course of the day yesterday after our show, Wes. A very strange combination of storylines yesterday.
What you got for me? You got one in particular here?
Well, I thought the one regarding ESPN, College Game Day, going to go to Augusta National. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought that was like, man, how cool is that? Yep. Now, I know that had been rumored and floated around, but then all of a sudden, yep. Ta-da, here they go. And they're going to be set up right there at the par three course. And we're looking number nine, if you know the par three course yep. there. So that is, yeah, believe it or not, the Masters coming up in a couple weeks. So again, ESPN does a great job covering the first couple rounds, tied in with CBS, our buddy Jim Nance, and all those guys on the other side. So why not? You get the best of all worlds, college football and Augusta, all tied into one. With College Game Day going to be there. And as I kidded around yesterday on Twitter, I looked at my schedule, and lo and behold, man, all of a sudden I'm good for November 14th. I'm clear. So if in case there's any issues with Game Day having a hard time following up and saying, hey, we need to find a quote-unquote celebrity picker, Wes, I'm just telling you, I know you're busy on weekends. I can make it. Like I was for the cross country. I can get the Ford F-150. Go right down the highway, see it Magnolia Lane, and I know my way around that track. I'll catch you boys there if you need me. If you need me. I'm not forcing anything here. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Man, that would be a very cool deal. Yeah. College game day at Augusta National.
Absolutely. Congratulations to those guys for getting that assignment. That'll be a lot of fun to see. Now, they'll have to be quiet, Pack. Not a lot of histrionics allowed at Augusta National, as you know. Very, very reserved atmosphere and environment.
Yeah, but they're going to be down there at the par three course. You can make some noise down there and be okay. Here's what I want to see, though. Are we going to have the green wrapper pimento cheese sandwiches for $1.50? And right, we're going to have all that, right? Can you imagine?
Well, there are no patrons this year at Augusta National. So
I know, but you guys got to eat.
I mean, no patrons.
College Game Day, you guys get fed every week, right. Man. There's always some local chef coming up with something. So you got to have some of those famous pimento cheese sandwiches.
Sausage. Don't they have sausage biscuits in the morning available too there?
Anything you want.
Aren't there some biscuit? Yeah.
By the way, can you imagine the potential?
Pretty special spot in the road, folks.
Can you? No doubt. Can you imagine the potential guest picker, though? Seriously? I'm kidding around, obviously, from our end. But can you imagine the cool folks you could have that have great ties to incredible institutions and also have that tie to Augusta? There are some unbelievable potential picks for the celebrity picker there.
I'll start with Jack Nicklaus. I don't know that Jack Nicklaus has ever been the guest picker of College Game Day, even though they've been to Columbus, I know, several times. And Jack obviously had a grandson play, Nickel Leary, his daughter's son. Yeah, Florida State, national champion. I mean, so Nickel Leary, Jack Nicklaus to me would be the first one. That'd be the one you'd go with right there.
How about a toss to our man Andrew Brooks back there, one of the smart guys up there in Bristol with his Pac-12 Arizona State ties. You go Phil Mickelson.
There's another one.
Just saying.
There's another one, right? Yeah. I mean, so.
And there's some ACC ties.
Phil Mickelson might be get a little coffee for wellness on the set there.
Yeah.
During game day.
Exactly.
From Phil.
So many potentials on that. It could be really great. Really great.
Yeah. By the way, the other storyline, our thoughts and prayers are with the NC State family this morning. Tuffy, too, passed away last night due to heart disease. Been the mascot since 2016.
Yeah, that's insane.
So there's Tuffy. Yeah. So we look forward to seeing the new Tuffy, but we will think of the old Tuffy fondly as well. So that's a tough deal, too. That happened pretty quick, as I understand it.
Yeah, no doubt. What a beautiful
animal. Doing some reading last night. Oh, my God. So, absolutely.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. On a Wednesday, many thanks to the commissioner of the ACC, John Swofford, who just joined us. Again, you see the Unite t-shirt in the back. Again, Unity Week in the ACC. It's a big deal. No question about that. Tim Hasselbeck joins us, as he normally does, each and every Wednesday at this time. as he gets ready for Virginia and North Carolina. Tim, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys?
We're great, man. We're doing the same thing, just kind of getting ready for hopefully another week of college football. Kind of an interesting matchup this week. These two go way, way, way back. The 125th meeting. It's a good old-fashioned love fest anytime you get North Carolina and Virginia together. But you really get a sense of kind of desperation with Virginia, don't you, given the fact that, hey, October has not been kind. They're trying to figure out the quarterback scenario. And here comes a really talented North Carolina team to town. Kind of an important week for Virginia to try to figure out, hey, can we get this thing back on track?
Yeah, I mean, we've lost four in a row. And so even if you feel like you've been doing a good job in certain areas with your football team, you know, morale gets affected. I don't care who you are. If it's Pop Warner, high school, college, pros, losing four in a row, you know, just starts to create some doubt. So there isn't any question in my mind that, you know, Virginia is in a situation where, look, they might feel like they're close, but they need to find a way to get a win so you can break the rock and feel like, you know, you're feeling good about the direction you're headed. And it's a really tough week because it's one of the more talented teams in the ACC that is traveling to their home field this weekend.
Tim, I don't know. We ran a cut from Bronco Mendenhall here on Tuesday, and it sounded to me like, at least with Brennan Armstrong coming back, they're still kind of going to play the dancing quarterback deal. It started a couple of weeks ago in Winston-Salem with three guys taking snaps in the first quarter. And now with Armstrong's return, even last Saturday night at Miami, they want to keep that route going. What do you see in terms of their offensive packaging based on what you saw last Saturday night in comparison to when it was just Armstrong earlier in the year?
Yeah, well, so it's certainly been interesting. You know, Bronco made a comment to us prior to the game last weekend where he said, look, it's more about us than it is about them in terms of what we're doing at quarterback. And obviously that had to do with, you know, Brennan being in the concussion protocol, not necessarily knowing what his status was going to be, you know, maybe early enough to know for sure that you were going to have him. And I also think there's an element of what they did against Wake Forest where they said, well, shoot, when Ira Armstead and when Keaton Thompson have the ball in their hands, good things are happening because these guys are good football players and good athletes. So let's not be afraid to get the ball in their hands. And so I kind of think they, I don't know if I would say stumbled onto something, but I do think they uncovered something that was probably good for their football team in terms of making them hard to defend. And I do think there were elements of that were on display against Miami. So I believe going forward that, you know, Brennan Armstrong is going to be their quarterback of the future that they want as their starting quarterback and taking the vast majority of their snaps. But I also think that they've identified, especially Keaton Thompson, as somebody that should have the football in his hands. And so I think the balance of, hey, let's get our players involved that give us a, you know, the best chance to win this weekend. At the same time, let's not stunt the growth of our young quarterback. That's the challenge that they have. And I think how they manage it will say a lot about Armstrong's development as well as kind of some of the success they can have on offense.
Tim, I thought Virginia tackled well last week against Miami. I wouldn't have said that against the game that West did. When they played at Wake Forest, and they were a little sloppy on them, but I thought their tackling was really good and crisp Saturday night, even in the rain and everything else. And man, is that going to be essential? We've been talking about the word essential here a lot this hour, but when you take on a North Carolina team with the two great backs, great wide receivers, terrific offensive line, Sam Howell's terrific too. I mean, this is such a dynamic offensive team that they better tackle well Saturday night or that thing could get away from them, because North Carolina can embarrass you if you're not ready to go play.
I completely agree. Look, Virginia's defended the run great this year. They've done an excellent job there. And I think that, you know, we probably shouldn't be surprised. It's a good front seven, and they've got improved players from a year ago in that front seven. And, you know, Snowden and Van Deer, and like those guys have been really good. Alonzo. So I think that there are, I think they can build on that. The surprising thing has been the plays in the back end. And, you know, last weekend they're banged up at safety. And, you know, I think giving up the big play has probably been the biggest surprise for the team. You know, I think we could have, we saw the offensive production leave, you know, so we could have expected some growing pains there. But so many returners in the secondary and smart players in the secondary, I think it's been surprising that they've given up so many plays in the passing game. But I do think that, like, when you look at North Carolina, it's the run game that makes it go. Look, Sam Howell, I really like. I think he's a very good player. I probably, you know, like him even more than a lot of guys that like him. I think he's, you know, I think he's got a really, really bright future. But make no mistake about it. Like, that offense goes through the run game. And I think there are weeks that, look, they don't need to throw it as much as they're throwing it. I think there are just weeks that just continuing to hand the football off, even against looks that aren't great looks to run the football, is okay because of the talent at running back.
Tim, it's interesting too, because when you start looking at where Carolina is, that's almost like Virginia's got to double down on what they're concerned about then Saturday night, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think so. They have the ability because they do have good playmakers on the outside and obviously good quarterback. But, yeah, look, there is no question that the discussion, you know, in the defensive meetings for Virginia this week is, you know, Carter and Williams. Like, there's no that is definitely going to be, you know, the discussion. And I would just say this, every coach I've ever been around, even if you're facing a team that, you know, is good at throwing the football, every coach I've ever been around maybe hates getting the ball run down their throat more than anything in the world. So I just, like, how frustrating is it to sit there and be like, all right, they just ripped off another 6.5-yard run, okay? And there's another one, and that's a first down, and we're about to have that happen two more times. Like, it just, it's not fun to lose that way. So, and not that it's ever fun to lose, but that type of, you know, kind of beat down is just never feels good to any coach I've ever been around.
Speaking of the running game, one thing that's kind of been North Carolina's kryptonite on defense has been a running quarterback. And we have seen Armstrong, when healthy, be able to do just that. And I think that's part, to me, it's part of the intrigue Saturday night, is to see, number one, all right, Virginia, pick a quarterback. Okay, cool. Now let's see how North Carolina can stop a running quarterback, because that really has been a problem.
Yeah, and I think it's a problem for a lot of teams. It's hard, especially when it's unscripted, which many times it is with Armstrong. You know, when you look at, you know, some of the struggles that North Carolina had against, whether, you know, it was a play that Dracovic made, you know, in that game, or whether it was a play that, you know, in the Florida State game, or whether it was Virginia Tech, you know, I think sometimes the off-schedule things can be a problem. And then on the scheduled design runs, you know, yeah, like it's, you know, oftentimes a number advantage and not having somebody accounting for the quarterback. And I would say this, too, in terms of preparing to face Virginia. You know, Manny Diaz talked last week about there's such a small sample size of what you know, they've done with Armstrong and what they've done with Armstead and what they've done with Thompson. So we don't want to chase ghosts, but we have to be prepared. Well, now you have the Miami film to look at. I mean, guys, the Miami film, it was like, okay, hey, we're going to motion Armstrong out of the backfield now. And now there's a new quarterback. So you didn't even get the, you know, the clue that he was going to be lined up at quarterback. And then they had reverse passes, and then they had double passes. Now all of a sudden you're not chasing ghosts. You're chasing a bunch of gadget plays that they put on film. And I think that makes them tricky to defend.
Yeah, good point. Hey, Tim, news of the day was Trevor Lawrence's comments yesterday about he didn't close the door on a return for his senior season. I know you follow the NFL and do a lot of work on ESPN on that side of the house as well. He's a consensus number one in a lot of people's minds next spring, and now he's cast a little bit of doubt out there. In the professional world, how will that be received in your mind?
Oh, I don't think they're concerned about that. I think that, look, I think if he was able to come out last year, I think he would have been the number one overall pick, even with the year Burrow had. You know, I think when there's enough information out there that you'll be the number one overall pick, it'd be hard to, you know, turn that down. I think he still kind of acknowledged that he's leaning that direction. I think he's a mature enough and smart enough guy to know that, like, look, things can change. Look what happened to Tua a year ago. You know, it doesn't mean that, you know, you're like, things can happen, an injury can happen, and then all of a sudden you're rehabbing. And, you know, so I think he's probably just smart enough to not make a decision now that becomes the news. I think anything he says is going to become news, but making the decision now becomes news. I would say this, and this is kind of the interesting thing. I saw a headline about, like, you know, Trevor Lawrence, you know, comments about the NFL. It was kind of a teaser and, you know, a little bit misleading about what it might be. And my initial reaction, this is out of the world we live in, my initial reaction was, gosh, I hope I'm not about to read something about opting out for the rest of the year. Think about that. Like, that's where my head went, just because we've seen that with so many players. We're seeing it now where players during the year are like, you know what, I've kind of solidified my draft stock. Here we are in November. I'm done. You know, COVID opt out. I'm going to get ready for the combine and the draft. And so, look, I think if you're a Clemson fan and you'd love to have him back or whatever the situation may be, listen, just be thankful that this guy who really could have still been the number one overall draft pick this upcoming season without playing a snap of college football this season is committed to your football team right now and for the rest of the year. Like, to me, like, be happy and satisfied with that right now, and don't worry about the rest until later.
Tim, isn't leverage a beautiful thing? We talked about this a couple of hours ago. When you have leverage, you must use it. I don't care what it is you do for a living, because not very often do you get put in that position that what you say and what you do can have an impact one way or the other. But when you have it, you better take advantage of it.
Yeah, and listen, you don't know the conversations that have gone on, right? Like, think about it from Clemson's perspective. If I were the head coach of Clemson, I would say to Trevor, hey, Trevor, listen, we're recruiting a bunch of guys right now. It'll be a distraction to our team. Don't publicly make the decision official during our season. Let's focus on this season. That'll be good for our roster. It's also going to help us continue to recruit to the school that you love. And, you know, and that's a good thing. I mean, think about if you're recruiting a kid right now. And not that they need help doing this, but like, hey, listen, oh, you want to come play receiver at Clemson, even though we've got, you know, tons and tons of them? Yes, we have a guy behind Trevor, but like, hey, he might even be back next year. You could play with him. Like, there are so many tentacles to this of why it doesn't make sense for him to go ahead and, you know, officially, you know, put some stake in the ground that, you know, everybody's got to make is news. So I think it's smart by Trevor. I think it's smart by the people who obviously have influence in terms of what he says. And ultimately, I think this. I think everyone thinks that he's coming out because he's going to be the number one overall pick. And look, I think that, you know, there's a lot of money to walk away, and then there's also risk. So I don't think anyone's going to end up being surprised by his decision.
There you go. Good stuff. Tim, thanks. Appreciate it as always. Have a great call Saturday.
Cool. See ya.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Final segment here on ACC Network. It's been a rather quick show today. This one felt fast. Really fast. Now we've got...
learned a lot. We've learned a lot.
Yeah, today's been a good show. Been a fun show. We've got some things up our, we got some things up our sleeve though for the next couple days. So just going to give you a little, stay tuned, grab your popcorn or whatever your breakfast, choice is, Frosted Flakes, whatever the case may be. And, hey, number one, that's how many, hey, you know what? You're giving me the one, you know what that means? That is the number of World Series the Dodgers have won in the last 11,695 days. One. Go ahead.
All right. Scott Satterfield of Louisville and the coveted invite, Katie George, on this show tomorrow,
excellent,
by the way. And Georgia Tech assistant associate head coach of their basketball program, Eric Revena, who was one of the forebearers, if you will, of getting student-athletes in college athletics to be a big part of Tuesday's election. We will talk to Eric Revena, who played his college basketball, by the way, at Stanford. Looking forward to that visit.
Smart man. So, like it.
Yeah. You said it's been an interesting show. It's been a fast show. We've come upon some very, very interesting things during this show. One of them was revealed Monday night in his weekly radio show. Justin Fuente of Virginia Tech was presented with one of the great questions of the last month surrounding the ACC. Here is John Lazor, the voice of the Hokies, with Coach Fuente.
I've had a number of people that wanted me to ask you this week, so I'm going to. Have you seen Mark Packer's impression of you? And if so, your thoughts?
Yeah, I've seen it. So I have mixed emotions about it, okay? Like, first of all, I'm honored, okay? Like, I'm honored that somebody tried to do an impression of me. Second of all, I mean, obviously he was taking a shot at me because he was, you know, like, it was coach speak, right? Because I wouldn't tell him anything about the quarterback or whatever, you know, which nobody should be surprised about anyway. So I get that part of it. And then third of all, like, I don't know, like, is he going in on, like, was that a shot or was it, like, a backhanded compliment or, like, when he starts talking about ripping the podium apart, like, what did he really mean there? Like, I'm still trying to figure that part of it out. So.
I think it came from a place of love because he said, I love Justin Fuente.
Oh, those guys are fantastic. I tell you what. And, you know, I mean, I make no bones about it. Like, I mean, I have my feelings about various media outlets, but not that I have strong positive feelings about that one. Those guys are fantastic. They're funny. They're smart. They're in it for the right reasons, in my opinion. You know, they are genuinely supporting, excuse me, ACC football, the ACC football teams, and I think they're great in this region. And I know they're wildly popular, and I wholeheartedly endorse them. I think they're fantastic.
Come on, Foo, right here, Big Daddy.
Was it a shot?
We got the show, 7 to 10.
Was it a
Monday
shot?
Through Friday.
Backhanded compliment. Louisville. I told you, I'm married to a Hokie.
Perplexing.
Coach. I'm married to a Hokie. I have outkicked my coverage. It is never a shot. Never, ever a shot towards you. Ever. But if he does come on the show.
I got a Zoom call with the head coach of the Hokies this week, Pac. I got a Zoom call with the head coach for the game.
If he comes on with us, though, I'm telling you, I may go foo part two if he comes on with us. Foo part
All
two.
Right. Sounds good. Other things we have learned on this show today. In an exclusive interview with the commissioner of the ACC, Mark Packer has been deemed non-essential by a close vote to drive the golf cart at the cross-country championships at the Wake Med Soccer Park on Friday. Again, headline repeating, Mark Packer deemed non-essential by a close vote.
I'm sensing this is not my week, Wes. The Dodgers win their first World Series title in 32 years, and now I've been deemed non-essential. But I'm feeling good about the 21 cross-country championships because I'm going to have John Swofford riding shotgun with me. So I'm sensing I got a better shot in 21.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.